Blog Talk Radio.
Guys too.
We've the last 2 weeks that we've been running
reruns. I've had some home games, and tonight we're playing in Philadelphia for the big, all the marbles. Philadelphia Soul is 8-0. I'm sorry, and the Tampa Bay Storm is 7-1. So we'll be doing that by telecast after the show. But I want to wish all the fathers out there a very happy Father's Day. It's a pleasure to be among your group. And for one special guy who listens regularly, it's the first Father's Day for him. Today at 11:30, Mr. Frank Carroll and Mrs. McKenna Carroll stood before the judge, and with the finalization of the adoption of Robert Anthony Carroll. So congratulations to both of them. So, well, Scott, Ty, a lot's gone on since last time we spoke.
Yeah, it seems like it's been forever since we've had a chance to catch up, sir.
Hey, let's talk about fathers. Let's update guys on Mr. Mel.
Mr. Mel is doing quite well. I didn't get a chance to speak to him today, but I got a call from him. And when
nice.
I get a call from him, that means he's up and moving around. Then I got a picture sent of him walking amongst his house and things of that
nice.
Nature. So he's on his feet. He's doing well.
Great.
And hopefully working his way slowly but surely to 100%.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to him earlier in the week, and it was good. You know, we always go back to the days of the St. Peter's Cathedral basketball team and
yeah.
the nights that we would spend over at either at the Salvation Army or over at the school on 4th Street. And a lot of good times, a lot of good memories. Especially with you and your brother and my boys. We had I see that the WBO has finally sanctioned Podvetkin. I guess he could finally pass a drug test. And
We'll see. He said he wants to prove to the world that he's a clean fighter. And you know what? He could very well be a clean fighter for this particular fight, but for his last two fights, he wasn't so clean, so that's
right.
why we're in the situation we're in now.
Yeah, he evidently he's going to fight on July 1st. He's going to fight Ukrainian Andrei Rudenkov. I don't know anything about either. I know Povetkin, but I don't know anything about Rudenkov.
You know, it's going to be a bit of a tune-up fight because Povetkin's been out of the ring for, you know, over a year now with these drug testing failures.
Right.
So, you know, obviously the different sanctions, you know, 6 months here, 6 months there, keeps him out, not to mention the fights. He had two fights scheduled that got canceled because of these particular drug test failures. So he's been out of the ring for a while. I wouldn't necessarily expect him to take on top-flight competition. And Povetkin is also getting a little long in the tooth, Butch. To guys like us, maybe not, but, you know, in a fight game, he's getting a little long in the tooth. So that inactivity... Not to mention, you know, you couple that with the fact that he is a little older. And, yeah, he definitely needs to slowly but surely progress his level of opposition. So it should be a good first start for him. Like you, I don't know much about this guy, but if we don't know much about him, then he's probably the first a great first fight back for Povetkin.
I always love tomato cans. What do you think, Brady?
What? Sorry, I was
almost... Yeah, doze off in the middle of the show here, Joe. All right?
All right.
now we're joined by the other half. Get his mic up. See, how you doing?
How's it going, guys? How's it going? Good to be back.
Going good. Going good. We were just talking about the prevention.
Hey, Z, good to talk to you, bro.
Hey, how's it going, bro? I'm sorry, but what were you guys talking about?
Povetkin. The fact that the WBO finally gave him a sanction that he could finally pass a drug test.
God, it's about time. It's about time. I mean, he's had fights put off, and I mean, you know, it's a shame that his career got a little derailed because of the performance enhancing things. So, but I mean, he's a very good fighter, very quality heavyweight, and you know it'd be interesting to have his blood around.
Hey, what do you think about the Broner and Garcia fight for the? It's not till July 29th, but their prices are almost out of this world with the Bella Productions. When they get nosebleed is $50 and goes all the way up to $1,000.
Oh man, yeah. It's a very, very interesting fight, and I think it's going to be competitive. One thing is, both guys tend to, they're not big foot movers. They're not going to expeditiously, you know, seek out and try to destroy you. Garcia, they're both kind of, you know, laid back. They both are very, very good counterpunchers. With that said, I'm sure they're fighting at welterweight. Garcia's the bigger guy. That's why he's taller and longer. I would say generally bigger. Broner is a faster, quicker guy. So, as I say, it's going to be an interesting matchup. And neither guy is going to have to really seek each other, but both guys are going to have to be careful how they let their punches go.
Ty, what do you think about, we got Jeff Horn and Manny Pacquiao coming in next 2 weeks from now.
If Manny Pacquiao were to lose to Jeff Horn, I think that would kind of signal the nail in the coffin for him as a top flight fighter. Jeff Horn's biggest win, you know, at welterweight was over Ali Funika, who, you know, was like a career lightweight, a career junior lightweight. He's a tall guy, and it always seemed like he could move up in weight, but Ali Funika's he's a small welterweight, obviously. So, I mean, and he's long in the tooth. So Jeff Horn hasn't really fought. In fact, not really. He hasn't fought any top 10 welterweights. So this is a tremendous step up in class for him. And, again, say what you want about Manny Pacquiao, but Manny Pacquiao's last two fights have been, you know, really easy fights against Timothy Bradley and Jesse Vargas. So he's at least dabbled in the top 10 in the welterweight division. Jeff Horn has never even seen that level. So, again, you never know until you know. I thought the Joshua fight was too – I thought the Klitschko fight was too early for Joshua. Thought the Spence fight might be too early for Kell Brook. The Kell Brook fight might be too early for Errol Spence. So you never know. I mean, you can't count Jeff Horn out because anybody with two fists in a fight has a chance. With that said, I think Pacquiao would have to be a prohibitive favorite. And it's not something I would necessarily spend my hard-earned money on for pay-per-view.
Great.
But nonetheless, I'm interested in the outcome because Pacquiao at one time was a phenom, and it's always great to see somebody who's mastered the craft, you know, kind of apply their art. So looking forward to it, but I don't necessarily expect tremendous competition from Jeff Horn.
Yeah. How about you, Z?
I totally agree, and competition is the word, is the key word. From the last two fights, Pacquiao, that I've seen of Pacquiao, he's slowed up slightly, but he's still top level. He's still top notch. The competitive nature of this fight is going to tell me a bit more about Pacquiao. Horn, I mean, you can't really say anything because, as with Errol Spence and Joshua, the eye test kind of was important with these guys. With Horn, you don't really have an eye test. So, I mean, you really can't gauge a guy who hasn't been in with people that you can gauge him against, really. Pacquiao's the top. He's one of the top of the top of the list. So, I mean, if this fight is even competitive to a rough standpoint for Pacquiao, then we definitely know he's losing luster and he might want to start thinking about retirement.
Mm-hmm. Hey guys, we're joined by Dr. Chris. Chris, what do you think about the Pacquiao fight coming up?
Well, you know what? Like, I'm about as skeptical as anybody else. Who knows what you're going to get this late in his career? You know, this late in his career, you're going to be able to tell a lot the night of the fight and the quality of the opponent. Who's he fighting, Frank?
Jeff Horn.
Oh, okay. All right, well, we'll find out. We'll be able to, this is one of them fights you watch or you know, listen and see what the hell happens. I can't predict. The man's getting old. He's been, all of his fights were tough late in his career. He didn't have any easy fights. He fought all tough guys. So I imagine he's lost it. He hasn't fought for how long now?
Oh.
Quite a while.
About 9 months.
Yeah.
No, but.
So.
At least not
probably,
9 months.
Probably, you know,
yeah.
I mean, you can't keep going to the well. How many times
right.
can you go to the well, you
right.
know?
Right.
Pretty soon it gets dry, you know?
Right. Well,
so. I don't know.
Brady,
I don't
what
know
do
whether.
Think?
I don't really know who's going to win, but I think if Horn wins, then this is going to put him up higher because Pacquiao is, like, one of the greatest. So if Horn wins, then he'll do a lot better. He'll get better fighters.
You can tell Brady's his Uncle Bob's favorite child. He'll never give up on Pacquiao either. Hey, Chris, what do you think about Andre Ward and Kovalev tonight?
Well, you know, first of all, I don't think the first fight was won by Ward. I think it was, at worst, a draw.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, I think Kovalev learned more from that fight than Ward did.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell did Ward? All Ward learned was that Kovalev could hit, and you know,
mm-hmm.
he took advantage of every opportunity and pulled on his experience. And Kovalev coasted. He coasted in that fight. He had him down, and he had a chance to take him out of there, knock him down again, and he just coasted. He put it in overdrive, and you know, I mean, just started goofing around. I didn't like that. He's not. I thought he lost the killer instinct when I watched him. So, and then Ward came on, took advantage of every opportunity. So I think Kovalev learn more than Ward did. I'm going to go with Kovalev tonight because I don't think Andre Ward can overpower him in any way. And the guy's too heavy a puncher. And I'm going to go with Kovalev. So
KZ.
You. This is a case of the lion tamer to me. You can put your hand in the lion's mouth once and get away with it. But I don't suggest you do it again. Ward's margin of error is razor thin. So, I mean, as it is, he can ill afford to make the slightest mistake against Kovalev. He did a good job of nullifying that in the first fight. But, I mean, as Dr. Chris said, Kovalev has learned. You can see him adjusting in that fight also. So he's kind of learned, you know, and gotten the experience of fighting Ward. I don't see Ward having a good night. This fight could look a lot like the Kovalev Bernard Hopkins fight without Bernard Hopkins' toughness.
Ty?
Well, you know, honestly, I got to say that I'm kind of in agreement with everyone else. I think when you look at the fight, you know, what gets said a lot is that Ward figured Kovalev out and he adjusted. What Ward did is he did better than he did when he started the fight. That's what happened. And, you know, again, I think no matter who we think won, and I think it was a close fight, but no matter who you think won, it really has no bearing on what's going to happen tonight. The fact of the matter is, it's kind of like Dr. Chris said, I think Kovalev actually has more room to make adjustments. Typically what happens is once the boxer figures the puncher or the boxer-puncher out, once a boxer figures your style out, he typically kind of has your number. But I think what gets lost in that is Kovalev's a hell of a boxer too. He seemed a little quicker to the punch than Ward. So there are some things too that Kovalev may have also have figured out. The big thing, too, that's really disconcerting if you're a Ward fan is Ward's punching power at light heavyweight. Ward wasn't a big puncher at super middleweight, but he's even less of a puncher at light heavyweight. And Kovalev, at times, gave him a little too much respect. And, you know, Ward is a phenomenal fighter, but, again, his options, you know, to change the complexion of this particular fight, he can do one of two things. He can be more aggressive, you know, to try to really stamp the decision of the judges. But for him to be more aggressive, he puts himself more in Kovalev's wheelhouse. People talk about him stepping inside and going to the body more. But don't you think Kovalev and John David Jackson are smart enough to prepare for that, knowing that that's the only thing that kind of allowed Ward back into the fight before? So with that said, and Kovalev is such a power puncher, dynamite at each fist, and Ward really has nothing to keep him off of him. So what we're asking Ward to do is to walk this tightrope, like Zito talked about, this very low margin of error. It's a tightrope. So you're asking him to walk this tightrope again. And fact of the matter is I don't know if he's capable of doing it, especially when the guy knows exactly that he's walking a tightrope. So I think we got a very interesting fight. I wouldn't be surprised to see it go either way. But, again, you have two. Kovalev, if power was equal, Kovalev still is capable of boxing with Andre Ward, and power is far from equal.
Okay. Brady?
I think Kovalev's going to win. I think he's going to learn after what he did wrong, and I think he's going to win because Ward now he knows what Ward's going to do, probably, unless he changes up his game. Kovalev's probably going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I have my money on Kovalev.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, Brady, because Kovalev fired his strength and conditioning coach and went out and got a different coach, Alexandre Melkin-Lubach. But what he's saying is he's training on his prior experiences, and he said that he learned a lot in that last fight, and he's going to be much better this time. He's going to take the, according to this, and this is his statement as of this morning, he's going to take the fight to the center of the ring and stay there. It's not going to be running around like before. So
yeah.
I guess everybody's about on the same page on that one.
Yeah. Did Ward get any new, like, trainers or?
No.
Oh, yeah, he's probably going to have the same thing.
Yeah.
He's not really going to change it up, so.
Yep. Again, he said in his statement this morning was, I just need to be me. And he's going to, he just thinks he's going to go out there and destroy Kovalev. Well, lots of luck.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wanted to get everybody's opinion on the $500 million prize fight that's supposedly coming your way with Mr. Mayweather and Mr. McGregor. What's your thoughts, Chris?
First of all, boxing is entertainment. The MMA is entertainment. I think this could be a very entertaining fight. It's going to answer a lot of questions. They're going to, you know, I think that Conor McGregor is putting himself at a disadvantage. In that he's not a, you know, a polished boxer, but he's a great kicker and so forth, but he can't use that. So it's like taking half your ability away. You can't take a man half of a man's ability away. I mean, if Mayweather had to take half of his ability away, he wouldn't stand a chance. So it's going to be very entertaining, very comical. I'm curious, but I think that. I don't even know how to pick a winner in this fight. I don't know how long Conor McGregor can go. I mean, he's in great condition, and he's a stronger guy than Mayweather. So it could surprise a lot of people, but it's going to be very entertaining. So
yeah.
I'm going to leave it at that. How the hell do you know what's going to happen? You know. So, but I'm glad the fight is me.
Yeah.
$500 million, is that what they said?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. Each guy's going to walk away with $100 million.
Well, yeah, they can walk
away. Ty, what's your thoughts?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I think it's comical. But I give McGregor a chance. I give him a chance. It's not going to be a whitewash. I mean, it's not
Ty, you've had a chance
to
do both MMA and boxing. What's your thoughts on this?
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can.
Oh, okay. Hey. Okay.
Is that Dr.
Is
Chris?
That
is that the, yeah, it's Ron. Is that Dr. Chris I hear on this show?
Yes, that's
Dr.
Ron,
Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I hear one guy talking about long in the tooth. I don't know what that means, but the guy's long in the tooth. They ask you about what your thoughts are on about the Pacquiao fight. You say, I'll tell you when it's over. You remember that shot you took in Valley Forge?
Right on the bottom of the nose. It made me better looking.
It really did.
I almost got started in a movie career after my nose got changed around a little bit. It was better looking.
The young boy over there falling asleep. Yeah, everything, you know, $500 million for getting your brain pummeled and everything. So it reminded me, I got a great show, guys, on Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Block Talk Radio. It's called Dr. Ron, Unfiltered, Uncensored. In fact, I have a great guest, Janet Doman. Her father was Glenn Doman. I don't know if Chris remembered him when he was at Frozier Chester Medical Center. They treat brain damage, children, really, but they believe that the brain is has enormous potential to recover. So, you know, you guys that get beat up in a ring and or whatever, there might be a chance for you. So I'm just inviting everybody, if you want to hear a really interesting discussion this Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Janet Doman, like I said, her father was the one half of the team of Doman Delegato. And they're international. They're headquartered in Philadelphia, which is really great. But they have institutes all over the world, including Japan, Mexico, Madrid, Kenya, Singapore, Russia, and even Australia. So, you know, as I'm listening to these comments here today, I'm trying to put them all together to make some kind of rational sense of them, Frank. I don't know.
Well, I can tell you one thing. After I got hit a couple of times, my IQ went up. So, so that might have been a good thing. I don't think it hurt my brain. I went to dental school and was an outstanding student.
Well, I heard you were the best in the
city.
You were the best in the city. It was in the suburbs you had your problems.
Yeah.
You and Cosby. You were fantastic in the city.
Hey, my buddy Cosby. I told you I played football against him in college.
Yeah.
That's my claim.
Yeah, he told me he whipped your ass.
I knocked him on his ass. He tried to come through the line. I blasted him. He was a fullback, you know? And I did. I hit him real hard. He only ran the ball about twice. But I remember it like yesterday. But, you know what? I hung jury. What the hell are you going to do?
There you go.
You know, these women came up 20 years too late. I don't know.
That's right.
That's a tough case. So,
hey,
but anyway, Ron, you know, you can make a full recovery. So what the hell?
Yeah, well, you know, the technology's out there. The institutes are out there.
Do they think the brain can heal itself and so forth?
Yeah,
right?
that's the whole program at the Doman Institute. Yeah, they really do help people to heal, especially kids that you know, have ADHD and they're maybe a little slow or they're trouble in school. I mean, sometimes it's just helping the wiring, just get it rewired and give these kids a chance. So, the worst thing a kid can be done is label the child, label him a bad kid or a trouble kid. The worst thing for that kid for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. You know the other thing, Ron? The power of the brain is unknown.
Yeah.
The power of the mind. And I think we're just getting into it now. I think the future, that's what they're going to really get into. The power of the brain, what it's capable of doing, what it's, you know, not capable of doing. We know really nothing about it in comparison to what we know about the rest of the body, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see what the hell they come up with, because they're going to have a lot of studies from the NFL, and there's going to be a lot of documented research.
Zito, can we
so
get
it's going
back
to be
to
interesting.
I want your thoughts on this this big fight coming up.
McGregor and Mayweather. I agree with Dr. Chris in the fact that it's going to be comical. The build up is going to be sensational. I don't think the fight is, unless unless Floyd Mayweather purposely makes the fight entertaining, I don't think it would be much of an entertaining fight at all. I think everything surrounding the fight or leading up to the fight is going to be grandiose. But ultimately, an orange can't beat an apple in an apple barrel. You can't put a football player on a basketball court and expect him to perform to a high level.
Right.
Conor McGregor is MMA and boxing is essentially two different sports. Yeah, you can incorporate some things in boxing into MMA, but that's not, I mean, that's just a small part of things. Just the general leverage and the angles of punches, I mean, especially that Floyd throws. Floyd is not just a guy that, you know, an amateur boxer. Conor McGregor would have problems with any professional fighter right now. He's not a boxer. So if you put him in against Sean Porter, he's going to get grinded out. You put him against Keith Thurman, he's going to get sharply bombed out. Floyd Mayweather is an elite. Even now, he's not that far off of retirement. He is an elite fighter. So that's, I mean, he's not even fighting the worst guy. He wouldn't beat a professional boxer on a good level. So, I mean, any guy with two fists has a chance, but ultimately you're coming into this guy's sport trying to dethrone him. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Okay. Ty, you've done Muay Thai, you've done MMA, and you've done boxing. What's your thoughts
on the McGregor Mayweather fight?
Yeah.
I have absolutely no thoughts, sir. No thoughts. None whatsoever.
Okay.
If you ask me my thoughts on McGregor fighting Frankie Edgar, I'd have tremendous thoughts. If you ask me my thoughts on Mayweather fighting Keith Thurman, I have tremendous thoughts. I could see why casual fans would be interested in it. But, you know, even though it's a boxing match, it's not really relevant to any of the divisions or anything that's going to help push the sport further. So I really don't think much about it.
Okay. How about let's go to the Brandon Rios fight where he knocked out the who was it? I'm having a brain fart here.
Yeah, I forgot who we fight, but it was nice to see Bam Bam back in the ring and surprisingly back in shape. So and in shape, Brandon Rios is a pleasure and a joy to watch. He throws 1,000 punches, you know, per fight, and he keeps the pressure on, and he's very vulnerable. He takes some shots, which is, you know, kind of what makes him entertaining from just a, you know, kind of car crash sort of aspect, as opposed to a sweet science sort of aspect, even though he employs a lot of skill and technique in his brawling. So it was nice to see him back in the ring, getting a W. What his ceiling is at this point in his career, with the wear and tear on his body, I don't necessarily think it's too high. But Brandon Rios is a guy, if you put him in right, he can make for pretty entertaining fights. So if he's, you know, ready to dedicate himself or rededicate himself to his career and try to make some noise in the welterweight division, then, you know, I wish him the best of luck. You know, it's just a matter of him staying focused and in shape.
Ty? Z?
Brandon Rios, he's... he's a guy who I always thought was better. I mean, he always was. He's a blown up lightweight or a junior welterweight kind of to me. I think he has the toughness of a welterweight, but ultimately he's not. His effectiveness is better at lighter weight. He's not going to big man welterweight. With that said, he is a very entertaining fighter. Throws 1,000 punches, takes a heck of a shot. But, I mean, he's where he's at now is kind of, you know, he's not going to go any further, really higher. He's peaked. He's peaked, and really that's about it for him as far as top level.
What do you think, Brady?
Oh, I didn't get to talk about the Mayweather fight, but I just have something, a little thing to say. I think that people, like, who don't really know about, like, how the fights work would think that that would be an awesome fight, the Mayweather fight, but I don't think it would. It'd be terrible.
Okay.
It's just for the money, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything on the Rios Herrera fight?
No.
Okay. What else? Do you have something in your report?
No, I don't think so. Not
okay.
Really. Nothing really going on in NFL.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, they did open the camps.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. The undercard tonight on Ward's fight is Guillermo Rigondeaux. Chris, what's your thoughts on he's going against Moses Flores?
Well, you're talking about an accomplished fighter. He's kind of Rigondeaux, however you pronounce his name. He's in a class with Lomachenko, people like that. He just hadn't had a chance to prove himself. He hasn't fought that much. Promoters don't like him because he's kind of dull. He's kind of a dull fighter. So they don't, he's not drawing the big money and the big crowds. Nobody wants to promote him. But he's a damn good fighter, a damn good boxer. He got he's almost flawless. And unless the other guy is stronger than him and a heavier puncher, he's got no chance with Rigondeaux. I like him. I like the guy as a fighter. So I don't think he's going to lose this fight. I'd be shocked if he did. You know.
Yeah.
But you're talking about a guy with 300 or 400 amateur fights, good ones too. So.
Ty.
You know the thing, and I love Guillermo Rigondeaux. He's one of the fighters I love to actually watch and study. But Guillermo Rigondeaux is 122 pounds, and he's small for his weight. Actually, he's not one of the bigger guys at his weight. He's a small 122 pounder. To top it off, he's now 36 years old, and he's only had one fight in 2015 and one fight in 2016. First fight in 2017. So we're talking about an older guy at a weight that historically doesn't allow itself to longevity in a boxer's career. And on top of that, we're talking about inactivity, which we know for a stylist like Guillermo Rigondeaux, the more he's in the ring, the sharper he stays. The kid he's fighting, Moses Flores. Flores is a taller, aggressive pressure fighter. Now, that style is, in a sense, tailor-made to a guy like Guillermo Rigondeaux, who's, a hair-trigger counterpuncher with thunderous power in his hands that really kind of disciplines his opponents. At the same time, what we do know is a style that typically gives an economical counterpuncher problems is an aggressive pressure fighter. And the one fight where, every fighter's had some problems throughout their career. But one fight I remember where Rigondeaux didn't look really good was against Ricardo Cordoba, who wasn't on Rigondeaux's level, but he was a taller, aggressive, took a good shot, and, brought pressure. There was another Japanese guy who actually dropped Rigondeaux in the fight, and he was the same kind of guy, a taller pressure fighter. So if Rigondeaux is still Rigondeaux, he should be able to undress this kid just with his skill set. If not, this could be a really entertaining, long, hard fight for Guillermo Rigondeaux. He's not the biggest guy. He's 36, and he's fighting a young, big, fresh kid who is going to throw, as many punches as he can. So it'll be interesting to see where Rigondeaux is at this point in his career. But he's not, coming off the layoffs and the time he's been out of the ring, he's not fighting a tomato can, as you say, Butch. He's fighting a quality, top 10 guy at that weight.
Right. Ty?
I'm fortunate enough to ask Kathy Duva and Russell Pelt their take on Rigondeaux and the promotional problems, and they say both of them said they wouldn't promote Rigondeaux just because he doesn't draw.
Hello.
Yeah, they say that Rigondeaux, he's not a big draw. I don't understand that, but I understand that you don't promote him. He's not a big draw. That's strictly financial. But Rigondeaux, style-wise, he's the ultimate spoiler. He's the ultimate. Whatever you're trying to do, he's going to spoil it. If you're trying to sit out there and try to box in the range, he's going to score enough points to make you have to come out of that. If you're trying to pressure fight him, he's going to slow you down. If you can't counter it with him, because he's very good at countering. But that 36 years of age, with that, your senses go. Some of your senses and your reactions go. That is killer to a counterpuncher. Once a hair of that leaves, that's killer, especially against a bigger, younger guy. And to top it off with the inactivity, it's kind of a good thing, I guess, for his career longevity that he's not getting a lot of fights, but I mean, it's going to be inevitable that it's going to come down. It's going to come down. And it's just going to be that hair off that he's lost, that the reflexes, the reaction time. That hair off is going to be, it's going to come down on. Maybe this fight, maybe whenever.
Okay. Brady, you got anything?
No.
Okay. Chris, it's funny that Ryan was in talking about the brain damage, because there's a fighter was in fight last week. Daniel Twitch Franco suffered severe head damage in a knockout fight with Jose Herrero last week, and they've had him in a medically induced coma for the last week. Do you want to talk anything about? Anything about the brain like that?
Well,
do the medical.
You know, this is going to occur in all sports. You're going to have head injuries when you're back. You know, you're going to have head. The future in the NFL, college. You know, the head injuries are going to start to show up. I mean, you know, like I said, we're learning a lot about it, but it's the glory of the ring. You know, it's one of those things. You know, you're doing like things like Evel Knievel. You're taking chances. You're taking chances. That's the thrill of it. It's the thrill of the sport. You know, we all know we're taking a chance when we do different things. But, some guys are willing to pay the price, hoping that it never happens to them. But, sooner or later, it's going to happen somehow. And the same thing with football and with rugby, sports like that. You know, I had a friend that was a damn good football player. He started playing rugby, got a bad concussion just playing rugby. So, you want to go for the glory and the glamour of the sport world. You know, things can happen to you. So that,
sure.
But you know what? It's not as sad as it looks, because if you really had a chance to ask him to do it over again, he'd say, "I'd do the same thing."
Sure.
You know what I mean? He'd say, I'm happy. I took a shot at it, you know. The old Italian saying: better to live a lifetime, better to live an hour as a lion than a lifetime as a lamb. You know,
meaning,
you know, you grab that glory while it's there, you grab that fame while it's there, and sometimes you got to pay the price. And that goes with car driving and trying to win a car race, driving around a damn, you know, at 185, 90 miles an hour. We all know we're taking risks, so I don't condemn a sport. You can't condemn a sport because somebody gets hurt. You know, kids are getting killed in little leagues, getting hit in the chest with balls. I mean, all kinds of things happen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's life, for Christ's sake. So, I really can't condemn anything about head injuries. Take that for.
Yeah. Ty, you want to. Talk about the Salido fight. Orlando Salido finally got back in against Perez.
Yes. So Salido got dropped, as he tends to do, and he came on and stopped Perez. And the big takeout from that fight is that now he's looking to fight Lomachenko again. It's really going to come down to purses. You know, does Salido price himself out? Is a term that likes to get bandied about. It looks like that could very well be the next fight for Salido, the next fight for Lomachenko. Obviously, he's handed Lomachenko his only loss as a pro. You know, I think Salido wants to be compensated fairly for the risk that he is going to take. He would be going in as a prohibitive underdog at this point against Lomachenko. But it seems like that is the best business for him. There was talk of him facing possibly the winner of Takashi Miura and Fernando Burchelt. But, at this point in time, Lomachenko is probably the biggest financial benefit for him per Bob Arum, who is the promoter. So I think that's what we're going to see in the next few months.
Yes, Salido is a very very highly exciting fighter to watch. With that said, I would like to see him against Lomachenko again. That Salido style lends itself to give Lomachenko problems. He's rough, and when you're rough and durable, I mean, he's droppable, but he'll get up and he's resilient and he's durable. Those qualities tend to give every fighter trouble. But especially if Lomachenko, when you're an organized fighter and you destroy organized fighters, that the unorganization kills you. The same with Floyd Mayweather. You have trouble with that, just that the unform. You know, when a fighter who could destroy form, they have all sorts of trouble against form, against, you know, just unorganization. That's kind of, not saying Salido is a hell of a boxer, but when it comes down to it, if he needs to, he'll fight. He'll fight. And a lot of fighters can't, a lot of boxers can't deal with that. So, I mean, but Lomachenko, I mean, he's phenomenal. He's phenomenal skill-wise. And his skill set, and you saw that in the Salido fight, you know, in the later rounds, how he adjusted. So that, I would love to see that fight again.
Great. What do you think about, you know, Chris, there's an older fighter out there, Earl the Truth Spence. And he had a fight last week with, what the heck was his name, Cal Brook. And he seemed to do pretty well. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, going into that fight, I hadn't seen very little of Spence. And, I mean, he won the fight, but he didn't knock out Cal
right.
Brooks. I mean, he hit him in the eye. It was a kind of a freak injury. And he didn't show me any punching power. He showed me the ability to adapt over, you know, he adapted very well to Cal Brook. But I still am not sold on the guy. They're all the boxers. Oh, he's a great welterweight. I don't think he's that great. I think he's got to prove himself yet. And that fight didn't prove anything to me other than, you know, you got a lucky punch in on somebody's eye and you close the eye. But he wasn't overpowering
great.
In that fight. You know,
great.
So he's a young boy. He's got a long way to go. There's no telling how, you know, what the hell he's going to materialize into. He's not an extremely hard puncher, but he's there all the time trying to win. He likes to win. I mean, he's not a so. You know, time will tell with this guy how good he is. It's going to tell when he gets in the ring with Keith and somebody of that caliber.
Sure,
he's going to find out what he's got. That's the only way we'll find out what he's got, you know.
Z.
I agree with Dr. Chris. His take as far as Al Smith didn't. I didn't see anything that awed or shocked me, or you know, any. I didn't see anything that made me think different about Al Smith. He's a big, strong kid. The key thing with him is development, is his take. Now, this experience against Cal Brook is much needed. I'm pretty sure he learned, and you can see him kind of adjust somewhat in that fight. He was landing, but one thing was he was getting very repetitive with what he was throwing. I mean, and Kell Brook began to read it. As I say, with development, he's going to learn to switch it up, maybe add more aspects to his game. With that said, his physical dimensions, he fights kind of counter to his physical dimensions. He'll be taller and longer than a lot of his opponents, but he gets on the inside. He doesn't like fighting on the outside too much. Right now he's in the dangerous territory as far as where does he go next, because he's being the top contender. Now, does he have that time or those amounts of fights to develop before he fights another top contender, or do we just put him in against a Sean Porter? That's where he's at right now. So, we'll see.
Ty?
You know, I tell you, I thought, it was a very good fight. And what it was, too, what I liked about it, I thought you saw high-quality boxing, and it still was an entertaining fight. You know, I don't think the sweet science was sacrificed for the savagery. You know, you got to see both. I kind of stand with Zito as far as nothing was nothing awed me about Errol Spence. But what was impressive about Errol Spence is he went in there and he beat Kell Brook. And that, to me, was the awe-inspiring thing. He beat a very quality welterweight. We can all speculate as far as how much, you know, coming back down to welterweight took out of Kell Brook. And, you know, what if he didn't have the eye, you know, issue? We could speculate that all we want. But he got in there and he beat Kell Brook. And outside of Keith Thurman, you know, I thought Kell Brook or Errol Spence were the other, you know, top two welterweights. Keith himself has called Kell Brook the other guy at welterweight outside of himself. So I thought it was a very quality win. Right now he has one of the better wins on his resume than a lot of other guys at 147. So is he the man to beat at 147? No, obviously not. Keith Thurman is. He's the man with most of the belts. But I think Errol Spence is the kind of guy who, if you put him in the ring with any of those guys at welterweight, he's hell on wheels. He's going to be a hard out. And, you know, I think even if he does lose at that weight, it's going to be a hell of a fight. He's not a guy who's going to give in easily. One of the things I loved about him is there were a couple times I thought Brook rocked him with some pretty good shots. And it seemed like the moment Brook rocked Spence or hurt Spence, Spence bit down on his gum shield and came back swinging. You know, he really comes back fighting. So he's really apt to not let you take the play away from him. And he's one of those kind of guys that when he gets hit, he wants to get back at you. From a technical fundamental standpoint, there are still some things he could work on. You know, he's coming up. He's 27 years old, so he's not like he's 23. But he's, you know, he's in his physical prime. But as a boxer, he still can mature and grow. And I think as he does, he's going to be really, really, a really tough guy to beat at 147.
Okay. But that brings us just to right to the end of our hour here. Chris, I want to thank you for I know you're making your way back home and staying with us on the phone. We appreciate it. Ty,
yeah, I pulled into my son's driveway. I had to feed his animals. He wants to go fishing. He calls me to feed the cats, the birds, the deer, the skunks, and the raccoons. It's my job.
Hope you have any moose out there.
Big on title, low on salary. You know? Animal.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
All right,
guys. We'll enjoy the fight tonight, and we'll have a lot to talk about next week.
Good talking with you,
guys.
Dr. Chris.
Nice talking to you, Dr. Chris.
All right, see you guys. Bye now.
Thank you.
Z, you want to lead us out?
Sure do. I apologize for my tardiness. Another wonderful show. I want to thank Dr. Chris, always, Brady. I want to thank you, Butch and Ty, all my Fighting Words family. And these shows are definitely in memory of Bob. And if anyone wants to hear any Fighting Words, please do call.
Hey, it was going on with
Ty. Ty?
You know, yeah, it was great being on with all you guys. Dr. Chris as well as Dr. Ron. It was nice talking to everyone. Hope everyone happy Father's Day. Bob is our co-pilot.
Okay, we want to thank everybody that was on with us tonight. Our guest next week is going to be Edner Cherrybomb Cherry, who has some things to say about his last fight. Say good night to everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Brady's he's learning the dials here, so that when I have a home game, he can work the computer while I work the phones. But, ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please just let them know you know they're there. A handshake, a wink, a head shake, anything you want to do. The best thing you could do is tell them, be safe, my brother or my sister. These programs are brought to you, these programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Handler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Onofo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longbow Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Patrolman Robert Jermaine, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Patrol Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana State Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth, Prince William County Deputy Sheriff Ashley Gidden, Easley, Texas Patrol Officer David Heffern, Sillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Ardith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant Paulo Salto, New York Police Department, Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Florida Department of Law Enforcement, Corporal Stephen Ballard, Delaware State Police. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night and God bless. Have a great week.
Shema Ezahir Ma Son Hashem Nevor Atzfet Hakuig Again Ma Yer Ma
Shema Lek Ma Yer Ma Shema Ezahir Ma Son Hashem
drops play and proudly toast his noble fame. Who stare at hand with mind aflame, towers and strength and length of days.
Thank you.